You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Football on In Play Radio. Hundreds of in-play markets, quicker goal flashes and more eyes on more games than any other radio station.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Copa America preview. We're looking ahead to the 2015 tournament hosted in Chile. My name is Sam Norris and joining me on the preview ahead of the tournament to take a look at some of the betting is Mark O'Hare of the website welovebetting.co.uk. Do check out Mark's website for the full comprehensive preview of the Copa America. How are you, Mark? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. Really looking forward to the start of this tournament. Something to look forward to in the barren summer months. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
It's not all bad, is it? We don't have a major tournament in terms of a Euros or a World Cup, but we've got the Copa America, we've had the Women's World Cup as well, and the Under-21 tournament. So plenty to look forward to, really.
Yeah, spoil, and especially the Copa for me. You've got the likes of Messi and Neymar on show, you know, some of the best players in the world. So it should be good fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll start with the outright market then for the 2015 tournament. It's 2-1 for Argentina. Brazil are 100-30. 7-2 Chile, the hosts, and 9-2 for Colombia. 14s bar those. We'll start with Argentina, Mark. 2-1 for this tournament. It looks short enough. I mean, they haven't won a major honour for 22 years, I think.
Yeah, interestingly, the final on the 4th of July will mark exactly 22 years to the day since they last tasted glory in a major and international tournament. So there's a bit of symbolism there for Argentina. Of course, Gerardo Martino, the former Barcelona boss, is now in charge. They'll look to probably play a similar style as they did last summer. Well, actually, a little bit different. They'll go out to attack again with the 4-3-3 formation. You know, look at the strike force as well. You know, Aguero, Tevez, Higuain, Messi, Di Maria. They'll only choose three from those, five or six players. So there's so much firepower at their disposal. But the defensive options are still a little bit of a concern. They still lack pace in defensive areas. Garay and Otamendi are a decent centre-half partnership, but they still haven't got that sort of familiarity of playing amongst themselves. For me, 2-1 is too short for an outright bet in a tournament like this, when there's so many potential winners. The strength of the teams on show are so strong that for me, I just couldn't be touching 2-1, even though Messi's in the form of his life at the moment. They're in the bottom half of the draw, so if they win or come runners-up in Group B, they'll head into the bottom half of the draw, which looks like being a really tough draw. You know, you'll probably have the likes of Brazil and their group rivals Uruguay in there as well with them. So they've got quite a tough route if they're going to go the whole way. So for me, I'd happily look elsewhere from Argentina.
Okay, and 100-30 for Brazil for this tournament. Obviously, they've got some demons to banish from the World Cup, and they've come under a little bit of criticism over the last couple of years of Brazil.
Yeah, quite rightly as well, I think. We've all sort of been known to see Brazil back in the years to play these sort of sexy football and go out all out attack and kind of just, you know, have us drooling. But Dunga's now in charge and he's a real pragmatic coach. He was there for the last Copa, the last time he was in charge, he guided them to Copa America glory. But his record's very good, but he's just very dull. You know, they'll be very much functional rather than flashy. They're very aggressive about the ball. They'll pick up lots of yellow cards and they'll basically look for the counter-attacking opportunity and look to score from set pieces, really. Neymar's taken over the skipper or the captaincy role and he's really flourished in that role as well. But there's still a lot of concerns for me about Brazil. They probably don't deserve to be that far out, apart from Argentina, 100-30. I think they're a little bit closer to that, especially with Dunga in charge. You know, it's all about winning for Brazil, but there's still a lot of pressure on them. They're in with Colombia in that group as well, they could easily finish in the bottom half of the draw. Again, I'm not willing to put my money on Brazil being over last summer's World Cup just yet.
Okay, fair enough. Chile then at 7-2. Obviously, the host nation, which always gives you a little bit more impetus. And they've been a much improved side, haven't they, over the last few years, Chile? How will they feel going into the tournament?
Well, Chile are the interesting ones, really, because you look at the Copa America and I think, all 12 teams bar Chile are looking at it as quite an experimentation tournament before the World Cup, you know, just to fine-tune things and attack the World Cup qualifiers in the autumn. with a bit more of zest and a familiarity about the size, whereas Chile are really focusing on the Copa America. They've never won it. Of course, they're hosting it as well. And interestingly, the coach, Jorge Sampaoli, his contract runs out at the end of the Copa America. So they've been gearing up to this tournament now for a good few years. It's really their chance to shine. It's all about whether they can deal with the pressure for me. They're very much a high-intensity, high-energy kind of team. They'll pressure their opponents high up the field. They'll be very interesting and exciting to watch, as we've seen across the last two World Cups. But again, it comes down to their physicality and whether they can last the pace and the pressure as well. But should they win Group A, which they should do, because it's a reasonably soft group, it's the easiest group of all three, they'll be in the top half of that draw in a semi-final place, and you know that you're just two games away from, or two 90 minutes away from lifting the trophy. So I like Chile. A lot of money's come for Chile in the last few months. So what are they, 9-2 at the moment? Yeah, I think I wouldn't rule them out, put it that way, but I'm not sure I'll be putting my money, well, my best bet on Chile just yet anyway, but they're definitely an interest.
Okay, then fourth in the betting is Colombia at 9-2. It's 14s bar, so this is the last team that obviously the traders really fancy, and they were a bit of a dark horse at the World Cup in 2014. Impressed a lot of people, Mark.
Yeah, I really like Colombia. Interested before the World Cup, the coach Jose Peckerman came out and said, you know, this would mark our arrival at football's top table. And I think they didn't disappoint, did they? We all enjoyed Colombia. They're very unlucky to go out against Brazil as well. And they're really kind of, you know, Peckerman's come out and said, you know, we haven't got a chance, you know, in this Copa America. It's all about the World Cup qualifiers. But I think he's just trying to, you know, settle expectations, dampen those expectations and alleviate some of the pressure surrounding the team. Colombia notoriously don't really deal with pressure too well. So that might be a wise move. They could be playing with a completely different back four to last summer, which is obviously a concern. But I think all 12 teams coming into the Copa America have their own flaws and problems. Colombia, for me, obviously defensively, that there are a few concerns. But you look at their forward players, and they'll usually field about five or six forward-thinking players. And there's just so much quality going forward. Falcao has been given the captaincy, but he'll be partnered probably by Carlos Bacca, who's an outstanding season with Sevilla. Obviously, James Rodriguez as well. There's so much firepower there. I really like Colombia. I think they're a bit of a dark horse to win Group C. But at the same time, if they don't win Group C, they will actually probably have an easier quarter-final as well. So then you're looking at a semi-final, and just like I said with Chile, you're then two games away from winning the thing. So I really like Colombia.
OK, then if I had to tie you down, Mark, to a tournament prediction, would it be coming from those top four teams, or would you be looking elsewhere, obviously, and maybe go for a dark horse? Well, we've got a third of the odds, place 1 and 2. Uruguay are in there at 14 as well, obviously the holders of this tournament. Or does it look likely to come from the top four for you?
It does, I think. I don't want to be boring, but Colombia are where I'm putting my money. I just think, since the last Copa America, where there was plenty of surprises, you know, you had Venezuela and Peru finishing in the top four. But I think in that past 4 years, that the top teams, those top four especially, I'd throw Uruguay in there as well. So there's five teams who have probably got stronger. Ecuador have got stronger as well. Whereas the teams sort of towards the back end of the tournament, you know, Bolivia's, Venezuela, Peru, Paraguay, they've all got weaker. So it's going to be very, very difficult, especially with the draw for them teams to penetrate the final stages. And I don't want to be boring, but you look at the top four and you think it's going to be very difficult not to see any one of those teams winning. Uruguay have weakened, obviously without Suarez, and they're sort of in a, again, looking at it as an experimentation rather than anything to really go out and win. So, yeah, Colombia are the team for me. I think they're the best value bet, but I wouldn't mind Chile as well going all the way.
Okay, Colombia then at 9-2 for Mark then is in terms of the outright. We'll take a look at some of the group betting then. We'll start with Group A. Group winner, as you'd expect, Chile, suitably short in this market, 2-5, 4-1 for Ecuador, Mexico 9-2, and 25s about Bolivia. But we've also got a market on a top two finish, which in this group, Mark, is quite interesting. Obviously, Chile 33s on, as you'd expect, but 5-6 Ecuador, 10-11 for Mexico, Bolivia the outsider at fives. In terms of who's going to finish second, this looks like one of the closest groups.
Yeah, really interesting group. The prices have completely flip-flopped between Mexico and Ecuador in the past month. I think as it's slowly kind of filtered through and people have realised Mexico won't be bringing their full-strength squad, they're focusing on the Gold Cup, obviously their regional tournament, which starts just a matter of days after the Copa America ends. So, okay, unlike 4 years ago when they brought an under-23 side and lost all three games and were pretty much embarrassed. They're bringing a little bit stronger team with them. Of course, Miguel Herrera, the coach, who I think we all loved seeing his antics on the sidelines last summer in the World Cup, is a shrewd manager. They play a 5-3-2 system, but it's all about whether he can sort of galvanise that squad. Lack of preparation time to bring in, you know, 23 new players into a squad and get them all singing from the same hymn sheet. So Mexico were deemed the second favourites in this group only until a matter of weeks ago. And then so people started realising about Mexico and started looking towards Ecuador. I really like Ecuador. I think they can certainly hold down second place in this group. Unluckily for them, of course, Antonio Valencia has been ruled out through injury. He's one of obviously their key players down the wings. They're very powerful, they're very physical, they're awkward opponents. They do seem to have a bit of problems when they go away from home. Of course, they play at altitude back in South America, so it'll be interesting to see how they cope when they're playing away from home, as all the Group A teams will be. But Ecuador seem to have that kind of that mental gap when they go away from home. But I really fancy Ecuador to do something here, despite Valencia's absence. They'll play very much blood and thunder, pace and power down the wings. They've still got plenty of players up front, Ener Valencia, who can cause problems, and there's still plenty of players who can create. Again, the problem comes in defence. They don't really hold any sort of world-class defenders or anyone near world-class in defence, so it all matters. It all comes down to whether they can hold that defence together. But as for Bolivia, I think we can write them off immediately. It's been a really miserable year for them. They've used three different coaches. The lack of preparation is really, really shoddy. They've not kept a clean sheet in 29 competitive games now. Again, they benefit from playing at altitude at home, so they've not won away from home since 2007. They played South Africa in a friendly then. So, interestingly for Bolivia, though, their coach, Mauricio Sarrias, come out and said, you know, we're fed up of defending and losing this way, so we're going to come out and attack. So, Group A could be a decent group for goals, because all four teams like to play on the front foot there. So could be quite interesting, but I like Ecuador at the prices.
Okay, so Chile followed in by Ecuador for you then, Mark?
Yes, yeah.
That's a 7-4 shot on the straight forecast. Move then to Group B. On the face of this one looks a lot more straightforward. Group winner, Argentina 1-5, Uruguay 7-2, Paraguay 14-1, Jamaica 100-1. Top two finish, Argentina 1-100, Uruguay 1-5, Paraguay 9-4, and Jamaica are 16-1. Obviously, it looks on paper as if this is going to be Argentina followed by Uruguay. But we did see Paraguay shock people somewhat in 2011 when they made it to the final. It would be an even bigger shock if Jamaica made it to the top two. Any upsets in this group for you, Mark?
Yeah, I want to. I really want to try and find it, because I think if there is going to be an upset, it's probably going to come from Group B. Argentina, you'd imagine, are sewn in there at top spot, but I'd like to think Uruguay can give them a few problems. Of course, Suarez is out, but I'm not so much to thinking that that's a huge, huge weakness. Of course, it is a weakness, but Edison Cavani is going to now take that number one striking spot, which he's never really had for Uruguay, and he seems to really flourish when he's the main man. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. Defensively, I think they're very strong. You've got the Atletico Madrid centre-half partnership of Jimenez and Diego Godin. Pretty fearsome centre-half partnership there. And, you know, Diego Roland of Bordeaux had a really good season as well, and he could be a really capable foil for Cavani up front as well. So it comes down to whether they've got enough inventiveness to really sort of feed those two up front. They're very stereotypical, strong, and there's a real good spirit and fight around the team. They're very dogged. There's a very good consistency as well. Tabarez has been in charge there for 9 years now, and I think they're unbeaten in seven friendlies since the World Cup. But it's all about rebuilding for Uruguay, so it'll be interesting to see how they do get on. I'd like to think that they can take second spot, but if there is going to be a challenger, I'm not totally convinced it's going to be Paraguay, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, Ramon Diaz has come in, the former Oxford manager, and he said it's the biggest challenge of his career. He's kind of opted for experience rather than youth. They're very much looking forward as treating this as a friendly tournament as well. They've been very directionless in the past 4 years. I think their results in the World Cup qualifiers prove that. I think they've won 3 of the last 18 games now. So while the spine of the side is going to be pretty experienced, there's still not that real star quality. All the best players are on the wrong side of 30. So I'm not completely ruling Jamaica out, to be honest. I think you look at the prices, and I think for Jamaica to finish in the top two is going to be very, very difficult. But a 16-1 or was it 14-1? 16-1. You know, I think Jamaica really could surprise. They've got plenty of experience in the squad, a lot of UK-based players, MLS-based players. They're going to offer something totally different to the other South American teams. And, you know, they're very quick, they're very physical, they're very fast in their attacks as well. And there's a bit of an unknown about Jamaica as well. They're treating this as a real opportunity to put themselves on the mark. And, of course, they're complete rank outsiders, but in a group where Argentina should take top spot, Uruguay in theory should take second, I don't think it's completely cut and dried, and if there is going to be a surprise, it will come from Group B. Saying that, it should be Uruguay, but if I was to pick a surprise, it would be Jamaica.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, very, very interesting thoughts then in Group B. We'll move ahead to Group C then now. The group winner of this group is Brazil 1-2, Colombia 13-8, Peru 20-1, 25s about Venezuela, and for a top two finish, 25s on for Brazil, 10s on for Colombia, 5s against for Peru and 6s against for Venezuela. We did see Peru and Venezuela finish 3rd and 4th in the last running of this tournament, but surely the top two in the group can't be touched here, Mark. And I know that you're also quite sweet on Chile maybe to win the group at 13-8.
Yeah, I think, as I said, you know, South American football's kind of gone in two different directions. The top teams have strengthened, the bottom teams have got weakened. And I look at Peru and Venezuela and, you know, again, it comes down to preparation time. Firstly, Peru hold one of the worst away records in living memory. I think it's 11 years since they last went on an away game. Of course, in the Copa America, I've had a bit more luck. And I think they only won one game last in the last Copa, despite finishing third as well. So, I look at the squad and it's pretty weak. Again, the best players are on the wrong side of 30. They brought back a few of the well-known strikers, you know, Paulo Guerrero, who was top scorer in the last Copa America, Claudio Pizarro, Jefferson Farfan. They've not had much game time at club level either. And defensively, you know, you look at Carlos Zambrano, who's playing in the Bundesliga. He's supposed to be their most reliable centre-half. He's really haphazard. There's a mental and emotional weakness in this squad. And I really struggle to kind of find the positives in Peru. But then saying that, I think they've got a better chance than finishing third and potentially sneaking a qualifying place from Venezuela, who I think they've had 5 friendlies cancelled in the past 9 months. Their coach, Noel Van Sanvicente, he's genuinely considered one of their best domestic coaches, but he's really struggled to get this team firing. They've struggled for goals. They've only scored 2 or more goals in 4 of the past 20 competitive games. They've only scored 14 goals in World Cup qualifiers, so you can see where their problems are. The positive results in friendlies have come when other teams have been weak. So they beat Peru in a friendly in March, but Peru are missing all their bigger players. And the 2 wins against Honduras in early February came when they picked only homegrown players. So there's plenty kind of balancing up those positives for Venezuela. They're struggling to keep the goals out. There's a lack of pace, and they're quite old as well. And, you know, from the past 15 years, they've made great strides, but they've really sort of stepped back in the past 18 months as well. So it's difficult to look beyond Brazil and Colombia. But I think at the prices, I'll be back in Colombia to win the group. I just think if those two end up drawing, I think Colombia have got more firepower to put Peru and Venezuela away. Interestingly, the game between Brazil and Colombia comes in the second round of fixtures. So both teams could easily hack up in the first game when both Peru and Venezuela have really not prepared very well for this competition. And then in the final game as well, when obviously they could be heading home, so they might not be in too great mental shape going into that final game. So Colombia for me, Brazil second.
Okay, then Colombia are 13-8 to win Group C. Just before we wrap up then, we'll take a look at the top goal scorer market for the Copa America. It's Lionel Messi first in at 3-1, 6-1 for Neymar. Aguero is 8, 10-1 for Alexis Sanchez. Cavani's there at 14s, Firmino at 14s, Falcao at 14s as well. The usual protagonists at the forefront of the market, Mark. What are your thoughts for this one?
Yeah, again, similar to the thoughts on Argentina, really. I think you've got to rule out Messi just because just those prices are 3-1. I'd only back in a top goal scorer at 3-1. Neymar, of course, he's going to be interesting. He had a great World Cup, scored plenty of goals. He'll be on set-piece duty and penalty duty for Brazil. You expect Brazil to go far. And when you're looking for a top goal scorer, bet, you're always looking for a team who will get to at least the semi-finals, so get a third and fourth place playoff as well. But again, 6-1 quotes, it's not really for me. I like choosing something a little bit more meat. So to start with, I've looked at Roberto Firmino of Brazil. I think you guys have got him at 12-1. That price has come in quite a bit because he's going to be starting up front for Brazil. I think that's more or less confirmed now. He'll start ahead of Neymar. He's a lot more mobile from Fred, who started up front in the World Cup last season and, of course, was laughed at by a lot of the public over here for his terrible performances, really. But Firmino's got a real mean shot from distance. Neymar will be given the free roll as well to sort of create, and you know, you'd think he's going to get a few opportunities starting at the front of the Brazilian strike force. And at 12-1, I think he's got something in him. And then further down, again, someone who's probably not so much well liked by the British media right now, but Radamel Falcao, Colombia. He's already been given the captaincy at Colombia by Peckerman. He's still really highly thought of with Colombia. And so he's going to start. I fancy Colombia to go well. He'll be, he is the main man when it comes to Colombia's front two. So whether Carlos Bacca, Teo Gutierrez, or Jackson Martinez comes in to partner him, he's still going to be the main man for Colombia. He scored 24 goals and 56 appearances for his national team. Has looked really sharp in the friendlies for Colombia, like a totally different player to the one we've seen for Manchester United as well. So I fancy him to go well. And then another Colombian, James Rodriguez, of course, he's got the golden boot, so it's very unlikely a World Cup golden boot winner is going to go and finish top goal scorer again in the Copa America just a year later. But he's the brains behind the Colombia attack. He's, 23? He's going to be a marked man, but his left foot is just... it's just a wand, really. He's going to be on set-piece duty. He'll be real danger from open play. I'd be really, really surprised if he doesn't get a couple of goals coming, you know, at the tip of that Colombia midfield. So I think he's a decent each-way shout to cheer on as well. But if you're looking for something really, you know, looking further down the prices, you know, you got to look at Ener Valencia at Ecuador. I think he's around, 40-1 to finish top goal scorer. He's in pretty a soft group A where he should see Ecuador qualify to the quarterfinals. So he's going to get, four games at least. And then from there, who knows what might happen. But against Bolivia, who could easily sit down and allow him to score a few goals, and against the Mexico side, which aren't at their strongest, as well as the Chilean team, who don't particularly defend very well, you know, there's going to be opportunities for Valencia to score a few goals. And he could easily be the... Guerrero from 2011 this time around at a big price.
Okay, excellent stuff then. We're a quarter of the odds place, 1, 2 and 3 for your each way bets in that top goal scorer market. Just remind us then, please, Mark, before we wrap up, of your main pre-tournament selections.
I'm going for Colombia to win the Copa America, and my best bet for the top goal scorer is I'll choose Roberto Firmino for Brazil to finish top goal scorer.
Okay, excellent stuff. There we are then, the thoughts of Mark O'Hare ahead of the Copa America. Do check out Mark's website, welovebetting.co.uk, for the full comprehensive preview of the Copa America. Thank you very much for joining me pre-tournament, Mark, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up again as the tournament continues.
Certainly. It's been good fun. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.